ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू टू श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 71 एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड ट्रैवल्स टू इंद्रप्रस्थ। टेक्स्ट नंबर 1। श्रीशुक उवाच इति उदारितम् आकर्ण्य इतिम् उदीरितम् आकर्ण्य देवर्षेरुद्धवो ब्रवीत् सभ्यानां मतमाज्ञाय कृष्णस्य च महामतिः इति उदीरितमाकर्ण्य देवर्षेरुद्धवो ब्रवीत् सभ्यानां मतमाज्ञाय कृष्णस्य च महामतिः। श्रीशुक उवाच इति उदीरितम् आकर्ण्य देवर्षेरुद्धवो ब्रवीत् सभ्यानां मतमाज्ञाय कृष्णस्य च महामतिः। देवर्षेरुद्धवब्रवीत् सभ्यानामतमाज्ञाय कृष्णस्य च महामतिः। श्रीशुक उवाच देवर्षोरुद्धवो ब्रवीत् सभ्यानामतमाख्याय कृष्णस्य च महामतिः। लेडीस्। श्रीशुक उवाच देवर्षीरुद्धवो ब्रवीत् कृष्णस्य च महामतिः। श्रीशुक उवाच। सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड इति दस उदीरितम् दैट विच वॉज स्टेटेड आकर्ण्य हियरिंग देवर्षि by Narada, the sage of the demigods. Uddhavaha, Uddhav, Abravit, spoke, Sabhyanam, of the members of the royal assembly. Matam, the opinion, Ajnaya, under understanding. Krishnasya, of Lord Krishna, Cha, and Mahamatihi, great minded. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, having thus heard the statements of Devarshi Narada and understanding of the opinion of both the assembly and Lord Krishna, the great minded Uddhav began to speak. Text number 2. Sri Uddhava Uvacha Yaduktam Rishina Deva Sachivya Yakshastatvataya Yaduktam Rishina Deva Sachivyam Yakshatatsvaya Karyam Paitrishva Sreyasya Raksha Chacharanaishinam. Sri Uddhava said, O Lord, as the sage has advised, you should help your cousin to fulfill his plan for performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, and you should also protect the kings who are begging for your shelter. Purport. Devarshi Narad wanted Lord Krishna to go to Indraprastha and help his cousin Yudhishthir to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. At the same time, the members of the royal assembly strongly desired that he defeat Jarasandha and rescue the kings he was holding prisoner. The great-minded Uddhav could understand that Lord Krishna desired to do both things, and thus he intelligently advised how both these purposes could be simultaneously accomplished. Hare Krishna. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So the background of this particular verses is that Sri Krishna is in the assembly hall and all the ministers are sitting. And one messenger comes and he gives message that 21,000, how many kings? So many thousands of kings are arrested by Jarasandha and they are suffering and they all are Krishna's devotees and they are praying to Krishna for shelter. They are praying for their rescue, deliverance, and that he was a messenger of those kings. He came to the Dwarka assembly and narrated the hearts of all the kings who were arrested there. So in response to that, all the assembly people said that we must do something about them, because O Lord Krishna, they are your devotees and they are imprisoned and they are suffering and tormented by Jarasandha. They are begging for your shelter and help. We should attack and release those kings. At the same time, Narad Muni appeared. And Narad Muni said that your cousin brother Yudhishthir Maharaj is desiring to have unrivaled sovereignty over the universe as Chakravarti Samrat. So he should be performing Rajasuya Yajna. So please help him to become Chakravarti Samrat by performing Rajasuya Yajna. And then Sri Krishna turns to Uddhav and asks him the advice. What do you think? So Acharyas explain that Sri Krishna knows everything. He knows everything, what is best to be done. He knows everybody's heart. He knows what's going on in the hearts of the kings in Jarasandha's prison. He knows what's going on in the heart of Yudhishthira Maharaj's thoughts. But still he is inviting Uddhav to come forward and give his counsel. So this whole discussion between Narad Muni, Uddhav and Lord Shri Krishna is simply exhibiting humility. Each and every person is exhibiting humility, compassion and kindness. Uddhav is such a great personality actually. Uddhav is, first of all, he is very closely connected with Krishna by being his cousin brother. He is his minister, advisor, very expert in giving variety of different kinds of counseling that he has studied from scriptures. He is a very learned, authorized counselor. He has knowledge of variety of counselings at variety of situations. Plus he is disciple of Brihaspati. He is well versed with 18 kinds of knowledges. He is also a great devotee of the Lord. He is such a close friend of the Lord that he sits with him, talks with him, jokes with him, goes for hunting with him, sits in the assembly, eats with him, sometimes sleep together when they are traveling or at home. So in one sense he has achieved a position that a devotee will like to achieve as the highest achievement. In one sense even the gopis are desiring that we would like to be with Krishna as closely. Whenever they would see the cowherd boys embracing, kissing and playing with Krishna, the gopis would feel, oh, how fortunate they are. How close they are to Krishna. How much fortunate they are that they are able to be with Krishna in such proximity for such a long time of the day. And we have to hide and we have to send the tambul and we have to send some sweet tweets through some cowherd boy and then he has to transfer it to him. So, from all points of view, from all devotional understanding, Uddhav had reached the highest goal of his life. In fact, he must be also thinking that what is next to achieve? My Lord is with me, he is close friends with me, I am his advisor, I travel with him, I sit with him, I eat with him, I do everything with him. What else to be achieved in life? This is the perfection, I am in the most perfected stage of life. And some Brijvasis and somewhere in scriptures is mentioned that he had developed some kind of pride. I would not really like to say it's pride. It is all meant for our purification and our understanding. That is how the Lord uses his devotees to really act in a particular way. But why I say that I don't want to call it as pride, because his future behavior that he exhibited convinces us he was not proud actually. For example, all of us, before we go into this discussion about Uddhav's further activities, all of us are trying to pursue devotional life. And as years pass by, you know, some knowledge comes and automatically we preach somewhere and some people even take to Krishna consciousness. And automatically you see there is influence, whatever you say people start doing also. You will see in the course of time they will respect you also, whatever you are. They start actually adoring you and sometimes they worship you. And then they give gifts to you, they hanker for your association. And then in the course of time you get some big service. And also you tend to achieve some good results. So in the process, pride starts developing in the heart. And now you see I am such a great devotee. I know so much. You see Guru Maharaj has entrusted me with such a big project and big responsibility. And I am also doing it nicely. He is very happy with my performance. And look at my following. So many people are following me. They are so much respectful to me. So, side by side, Maya is also working. And side by side, as we are actually making progress in Krishna consciousness, all these things are also traveling with us. And that day, Dwarkadish Prabhu was mentioning about Manas Puja when we enter the deity room. We pray that actually I am not what I think. I am no one. I am not a doctor, I am not a man, I am not an educated person, I am not elderly, I am not knowledgeable, I am no one. I am simply your servant, my Lord. I am only your part and parcel. And as all the things that I think I am, all are false, all are temporary, it's not a reality. And I am the real reality which eternally will exist is I am your humble part and parcel. And that's how I want to come to you and serve you. So it requires lot of practice and lot of inner humility to keep thinking all these things while you are being adored, you are being advancing, you are doing so many things, and you have to keep on actually meditating within. That all things are happening, but they are also temporary. I mean, so many people have done so much service in the past. But what is carried by Krishna from us is the bhav, is the mood in the heart. Because ultimately, even if we perform great services, very spectacular services, immediately the world notices you. Wow, look at this wonderful service. And suppose because of that some pride comes in, and Sri Krishna is not going to accept that. Sri Krishna is going to accept the humility with the understanding that, yes, I could do all these things because Sri Krishna empowered me. Because Sri Gurudev was merciful upon me, and that's why Krishna empowered me. And that is why I was seen performing like this. I was seen doing such nice things. I am able to get the results that I am now watching. But tomorrow, if Sri Krishna wants, you are doing the same efforts, the same energy, same dedication, and things will just fail. And that time you feel, oh, look at this. I didn't expect this to happen. Why this should happen to me? So who is speaking? The pride is speaking. You are not speaking. The pride that you achieved by performing before successfully, that is now speaking, because the soul, the personality is used to success and to praise and to glory. So devotional service is a constant effort within to keep up with the humility and respectfulness and compassion and kindness for others. If it was so that I was preaching and I met so many devotees, then actually speaking, there should have been thousands of devotees by now, only through me. Because I spoke to thousands of people. In fact, some time was there I spoke to everybody whomever I met in the college time. But they have not come into devotional active life. Only few of them have come. What is the meaning of that? The meaning of that is that we are just nimitta matra. We are simply the instruments. Lord Krishna had to bring them in Krishna consciousness. So he used us as per Deshakala Patra. So at that time it was like a accident in one way. Of course we had desire to do some service and Krishna used that. And accordingly the light was ignited and the person was brought in. And then you see the person is so advanced, much, much more than you who preached. We have also seen that. We've come so many years after, but they have advanced so much in every aspect of Krishna consciousness. That also is a proof that I am not the doer actually. I am simply an instrument. Let me be used by you, my Lord. Wherever I go, whatever I need to speak, please speak through me. I want to be a part of your service. This tongue is yours, this brain is yours, this body is yours, this youth is yours, this eloquence is yours. Everything is given by you, my Lord. Please use wherever you want to get result, please get. Otherwise, I will keep doing. So, this part of humility, which our Gurudev regularly keeps on stressing again and again, is an essential aspect of our Krishna consciousness. Because if that is not there and we feel hurt when there is a failure, or feel discouraged or despondent, or we feel hankering for the respect when we don't get it, for example, it's a deterrent in our spiritual life. For example, all the assembly respects me. But you know, that Prabhu who is sitting in the corner, he didn't wish me. He didn't respect me. And that makes us feel bad. Everybody bowed down to me in the assembly, but this person, this lady did not respect me. Or she said something which is very painful. It's also part of pride. Because ultimately, Sri Krishna is the giver of respect or disrespect. For us, whatever is good for us, he provides us. If we have expressed sometimes sincerity to him in prayer, that do the needful. Whatever you want to do, my Lord, please do. I want to come to you. Whatever that takes, it may take cutting, it may take boiling, it may take burning, it may take anything. But please do it. Sometimes, you know, in the good mood of Krishna consciousness, we have prayed like that. And then Sri Krishna, in the course of time, arranges all that. And it's painful. It is said a surgery is painful. A truth is like that. Truth is like a surgery. It's painful, but it will help you to get rid of the disease. But praise is not like that. It may make you feel nice, but it destroys your spiritual life from within. So, humility means all the time when there is especially success. Of course, at the time of failure also, but especially at the time of success, keep thinking, it is not me, it is Sri Krishna. It is not me, it is Gurudev's mercy. It is because He is in my life, I am attached to that current. And that current is actually doing all this miracle. Once the current is switched off, then I will be finished. I will be back to what actually I am. So when Gurudev's current is attached, even an insignificant thing appeared enlightened, you know. That is the power of Sri Gurudev. What Gurudev cannot do? His blessings can cause miracles in our life. He has given the connection to us. So the person who is grateful at the heart for whatever he has received, he only can become humble. Because gratitude is the basis of humility. If one is not grateful for what he has received, then he cannot be humble. So we have told that whenever we are suffering, keep count on blessings. How much blessings we have received, how many things we have received. So this particular setback is not a great thing. Similarly, even when success comes, we have to keep on counting the blessings. That actually all these things is because of the blessings that I have received. The mercy that I have received. So, why I said Uddhav is actually was not proud, because Sri Krishna wanted to reveal to the whole world the glory of the gopis through Uddhav. If Uddhav was proud, generally, you know, people who are very proud and very, they have achieved a lot. You know, they have really lot of money and lot of success, lot of following, lot of influence and great impact on the world, and great things have happened. If they see a greater person than that person, if they come across a greater person, then they will just avoid that person. They don't want to be with that person because that gives them complex from within. That is the situation of, like it's a joke-wise, it explained that if a most beautiful lady meets another beautiful lady, she may say, "Theek hai, so great. What's so great about it?" And that lady will not continue with the other lady. The same way a successful man, a famous man, they come together on one dais, they don't want to associate for a long time because they feel that this is complex for me. His position is like challenging me, so I don't want to remain in his company. But a humble person will, however great he is, he will meet a person who is more great than him, and he will try to associate and gain out of humility. So if Uddhav was proud, then when he met gopis, he would have felt, no, I don't want to meet these people, because these people, I am so great politically and socially, and these girls are nobody socially and politically. They have no position. They are just village girls. And they appear to be so advanced than me. I think better I leave this place, because let me be happy in my position. I don't want to get complex, inferiority complex and pain because of that. But actually, he stayed 6 months over there. His job was not to stay for 6 months. His job was to just deliver the message and come back. Whatever time that could take. But he continued there because actually he could understand the greatness. And his humility was so much that he desired to take the dust of the lotus feet. But his humility was so great, he did not want to even embarrass them by doing that. If he was proud, then he said, "Okay, I want dust of your feet. All of you just stand here." But he knew that it would embarrass them. It would make them feel very bad actually. Because they were thinking, he is such a great man. He is sitting next to Krishna. He looks like Krishna. Another feature of his was looking like Krishna. He came on Krishna's chariot. He was so highly positioned. But knowing well his situation and knowing the situation of gopis spiritually, he desired to have the dust of lotus feet by a different way. He went back again after giving report to Krishna. To do what? To perform tapasya. And it's not that, okay, one ekadashi, he did tapasya and next day he became blade of grass. It was not like that. That proves his humility. That of someone who has achieved such a high position, almost like the perfection of life, the highest position, you don't have any other thing to look after that. After that there is nothing to look for or aspire for. That person is leaving their position and coming to Brajbhumi and performing tapasya. It's not just sitting and desiring and praying. Performing some, doing something. So that he can become blade of glass. So that the gopis will walk upon him without any difficulty or embarrassment, without even knowing also. Naturally, he will get the dust of the gopis. I mean, for a kingly person, you can imagine, suppose it was a king of a country, you know. He has to go to a village and meet a most ugly person who is most illiterate and most having no money and everything. and he finds something great in him, and he starts worshipping to achieve that position. Is this imaginable? No. But in the history it has been done by Uddhav. He has sat as a mendicant, the kingly, aristocratic, opulent personality who has enjoyed all the opulences of Dwarka and Mathura before, who have enjoyed all the positions and respect. He has come down alone, not that he has got four disciples with him to serve him when he is doing tapasya. He sat in the forest of Kusumvan alone, begging Krishna and performing tapasya to make him blade of grass. Nobody does any tapasya, any effort to go down from his position. Everybody does something to achieve higher position than what one is. But in our sampradaya, many people have done that. Our six Goswamis also, they were so aristocratic. They had such wealth. They left that to beg food on the Brajvasi houses and live under tree and wear kopin and go around crying. Our Lord Brahma has done that. Who can be bigger than Brahma in the universe? He is topmost CEO of the whole universe. And whoever you point to, that is his son and daughter. We are so proud if we have, say, 40 people in my family. These are my children, these are my grandchildren, my daughter-in-laws and my grand-grandchildren. And now totally we are 48. And we are so proud of that. But everybody in the universe is his children. Every species is his children. And he has performed 120,000 years of tapasya to become stone. A stone is what? It's a very inert situation. Stone has no personality. Who cares for stone? Suppose when you walk on the road, do you care for the stone around you? You may be tramping, you may be kick the stone and the stone may go on the opposite side of the road. Or you may trample upon the stone and you will again kick the stone and go away. Or a dog may come and pass urine on the stone. Others may come and pass stool on the stone. Who ever thinks when you are walking on the stone or a mountain or a hill or hillock, whether ever you have thought about the hill that you are walking on, you just walk. That means you are Mr. Nobody in the eyes of people who are walking on you. That kind of so-called disrespected position Brahma wanted to achieve. And not one day, two day and 1 month and Chaturmasi performed tapasya. He performed tapasya for 120,000 years. And before that, in 60,000 years, he did tapasya. But there was no absolute response. That means you knock 60,000 times on the door and no one opens the door. And then you actually go away and do your work and you come back again and again you knock 60,000 times. And at 120,000 times when you knocked, some response comes. Yes, who are you? What do you want? And then he says, what do you want? So he says, I want to achieve the dust of the lotus feet of all of you, Sri Krishna, Radharani and Gopis. So what is the order given? Not that, okay, you build a house in Barsana and nice palace and you stay there and I will perform my pastimes, then I will go away, you take the dust. It's not like that. He said, you go to Prishabhanupur and become mountain over there. So Brahma is not thinking, oh, I'm such a big person, how will I become mountain? I'm not practiced for that. I'm not used to that. I'm not trained for that. How will I develop that? Instantly he became mountain. Instantly. Like Lord Shiva, when he was told by Lalita Devi at the Rasa Mandala that you have to become a woman, you have to become a gopi first, he never thought what my wife will say. What will be happening to my disciples who are worshipping me for the renunciation? Instantly asked how I will become a woman. So then they said, go to Mansarovar and take bath. He had no hesitation, even an iota of hesitation, that what will happen to me. He just ran, he jumped across, jumped in the Manasarovar, became gopi and came running back. Didn't even think what happened to the snakes. And the snakes were as they were. So what is impressive is the humility that is there with a person who is of such a stature. His Mahadev, even Brahmaji, who is his father, worships him. But the greatness of the person is not his Mahadev position. The greatness is his humility. How humble he is. When he was running behind Mohini, in between the sages who were worshipping him only. Generally you would try to avoid the situation. Maybe you will fly in the sky and go, crossing the situation. That I don't want to discourage or maybe disrespected by my disciples, by my worshippers. But his humility is so predominant because of the devotion that he has for Krishna. He didn't bother Who is watching me and what is happening around me? So these are so many examples of humility of great people who have done such a great activity, who have done so great position, but their personality is based on the knitting of humility. So this is a proof of Uddhava's not being proud, that he never got a complex. He never became uncomfortable in the company of gopis, that I can't tolerate this such a advancement situation in the village girls, you know, what position they have got. Look at me, I am such a great person. He continued being with them. And he understood that whatever purpose I have come for, I cannot fulfill the purpose. What preaching I will do to them? What knowledge of yoga I will give them? What knowledge that I have already learned from Vedas I will give them and make them tranquil? It's impossible. So he just continued. And then he understood that these gopis will take me to various places and show me the various pastimes that happened with them in that place. So let me just go along with them. And there became a very unique yatra, extremely wonderful yatra, that there were millions of dham darshaks and there was one yatri. And everybody was telling the story to one person who was yatri. And he continued so, he didn't feel, look at this, I have got some plan and I cannot execute, I better go from this place. No, he said, the result is that they should be pacified, they should be happy, their anguish should be reduced to even certain extent. And that's happening by them telling stories to me and taking me around all the holy places. Let me just be a passive listener. If that is what going to pacify them, I'm okay with it. So they all narrated all the stories in all the places they performed pastimes with Krishna, and Uddhava was just listening. He didn't say, I have some method, better you listen to me. I have something to tell you. Why don't you listen to me? They said, we are doing a yoga for forgetting Krishna. And he had the yoga with him to remember Krishna, to capture Krishna in the heart, which is not there in the heart. So he said, my yoga knowledge fails here only, because I never learned this kind of yoga where how to forget Krishna whom already you are remembering. So everywhere his actually so-called pride, which could have been, was getting smashed. You remember? You see? Whatever he had to offer was not having any value there. Whatever he thought he had to offer somebody has no value there in the situation. You have failed as a teacher. You have failed as a counselor. And it's explained in these verses over here that he was such a great counselor. He had counseling skills of variety of situations he was expert in. And all his skills also have failed. He cannot apply any of those things. He appears Mr. Useless person there. But he has no problem. He continued with that. Because he was so humble. And because he understood that my Lord is so merciful to me. He's showing me something which is higher than what I am, what I had. And he continued being very comfortable. And he came up, another proof of his humility, he came up with wonderful realization that I want to become blade of grass. He didn't want to again comfort himself by going back to his position and enjoying everything what he already had, the greatness that he had. He understood, yes, yes, I was a fool. I didn't know there's something higher than that. And something much, 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 much higher than that, what I think I had. And actually he became the blade of grass. And not only he became blade of grass, but when it was required, again he became human being. When it was required, when Krishna's wives came crying to Vrindavan, and Jamuna Devi sent them to Kusum Sarovar, you know, when they called up the holy name of the Lord, he came out as human being again. He manifested as Uddhava, personality. And did his service and again became Gulmalata. Huh? So humility doesn't mean that no, now I have achieved the highest position, I will remain the way I am, I don't want to do anything, please don't disturb me. Humility means that one wants to serve in any capacity. Hanumanji is another example of humility. You know, he was told to just shout from the flag of Arjuna actually. Hanumanji would have said, what do you think? You know, you all just sit, just become prekshak. You just become the audience. You sit down nicely. I will alone finish all this army. Why you take trouble? Such a great person. He has done so many things in the past. Which Treta Yuga activities, you know, Dwarpa Yuga activities are like peanuts for him. But he was told to keep shouting from the flag, Kapit Dhvaja, and he kept shouting. At many times there were situations we could have guided Arjun. Arjun, do like this. You know, it's so simple. Or let me do it, you just be audience. So, it is sometimes easy to become very big, but very difficult to become humble in the big position. And our sampradaya is a very revolutionary sampradaya. The most contradictory things are expected in this. The gopis are saying that crush me or embrace me. You'll do anything to me, we are okay with it. We'll still remain your devotees. The tendency generally is that if you don't respect me, I'll keep on pleading for some time, then I'll just say, forget it now. Why you want? But you are saying you don't even disrespect us or don't even neglect us, you just crush us, no problem. But still we will remain your devotees. That means this sampradaya is teaching us most contradictory thing, that you do every sacrifice that you possibly can, you give up everything what you possibly can give up, you renounce every single thing, even your existence so-called also you can give up, and still you will not get anything. This is only one sampradaya, that is Gaudiya sampradaya. It is offering you a situation where it may be really frustrating actually in the beginning, that I am going to offer everything, I am not going to get anything written. But gradually, by the mercy of acharyas, one can start understanding this, yet it's possible. The gopis actually gave everything. So many places they gave everything up. But Krishna was always theirs, because Krishna ultimately is such a great personality. Again, a contradictory situation, that he is such a great personality, but he is available to the most paupers. When you become Prime Minister, you are not available to any single citizen of India. You become more distanced from them, for whatever reasons. But here the highest personality is also humble, is also available to the most so-called insignificant people, because he is always focusing on the bhav of that person. He doesn't see your clothes and your opulence and your money and your position, your influence and your beauty and your so-called knowledge, the thing he is looking after. He is looking only at the heart. And what does the heart have? The heart has humility. The heart has tolerance. The heart has respect to everybody who is around. And the heart has service attitude to everybody in the mood of compassion to help everybody. The heart says, I don't have anything, but still whatever I have, I would like to help the fellow devotees and fellow kinsmen. And that is very essence that he accepts. So here Sri Krishna knows what is to be done. But he is trying to put Uddhav in front. And Uddhav, knowing, and what is Uddhav's humility? Uddhav knows the heart of Narad Muni, what Narad Muni has counseled. Uddhav knows the heart of the assembly people. Uddhav also knows what Krishna is desiring. Uddhav also knows what is best for Yudhishthir. And then because Krishna has asked him, he is humbly advising. He doesn't feel, see, look at me. Even Sri Krishna is asking me the advice. How great I am and I must be. He is simply doing a service. And what beautiful counsel he has given here. He has given the counsel that you have defeated this person 17 times. 18 times you accepted defeat. The Lord is so wonderful actually. For the sake of his devotee, he has accepted a defeat from whom he has defeated 17 times miserably. So 18 wars have already happened. Don't waste your time, my Lord. Again bringing army and again having the war. This time you go as a Brahmin. And he is very respectful to Brahmin, and you ask for one-to-one battle, so all this massacre of killing so many thousands of people, millions of people will be saved, and within less time, the purpose of your devotee Yudhishthira Maharaj will be fulfilled successfully. Because I know that Bhima is so powerful that he can one-to-one combat, he can defeat him. So, devotion doesn't mean one is not expert in doing things skillfully. Humility also means you have intelligence. Once you become a devotee of the Lord, a humble heart, Lord gives you such intelligence that you can do things in a very expert way. Not necessarily every time you have to work hard so much. Use your intelligence, that spiritual intelligence, which is purified by knowledge and purified by sadhana. It gives you a good understanding. It would have been possible if Krishna would have again attacked Dwarka, again attacked Magadha, Jarasandha. He would have again defeated him. Why to do that? Just do the simple way. He is the obstacle in the pathway of Yudhishthira Maharaj's becoming Chakravarti Samrat. So do it. So Krishna also humbly accepted her counsel and followed that also. They all disguised as Brahmin and they went to Jarasandha. Jarasandha was serving Brahmins and he was worshipping the Lord in his own way. And he accepted the request of Brahmin that we want to fight with you. We understood. That is, Brahmins are not Brahmins. They don't ask for fight actually. But he accepted that. And thus Jarasandha was killed by Bhima. And thus the pathway of Chakravarti Samrat Yudhishthira Maharaj becoming was successful. Now Yudhishthira Maharaj is not trying to become Samrat because he wanted to aggrandize his position. He also was in the mood of service. What is the proof of his humility? That he was not attached to his position. As soon as Sri Krishna left the kingdom, left for the spiritual world, he also left immediately with his brothers. If he had any attachment to his position, to his wealth, to his adhikar, to his power, he would have said, Abhi, so much of time in my life I wasted just wandering in the forest. Now that I have become this king, now that I have got the appellants which I deserve truly and legitimately, I have achieved. Now let me remember, till I actually retire by age. No, instantly he dropped, like we drop used clothes in dustbin. He dropped all his position, power, and went to north. That was again proof that they were never attached to anything in this world. They were only attached to Krishna. And they were always humble. They never grumbled. That why this to me? We are princes, all prince, all son of Pandu, and we deserve not to walk in the forest in barefoot, you know, endeavoring so much of difficulties and enduring so much of atrocities around. Why should we be going all this thing? Even after becoming your devotee, my lord, we have to go through all these things. This is not fair actually. We wanted 5 villages, even those 5 villages we didn't receive. They never grumbled like that. You were never reading scriptures grumbling like that. They always were grateful. And even in their suffering in the forest, you know, they must have killed a demon yesterday, they must have had some difficulty here, they mustn't have had enough food yesterday, and suddenly Krishna comes in between. What is happening to them? They are fainting in ecstasy. It is explained in scripture that as if life comes in dead man, that happened to all the Pandavas when they saw Krishna, and the way they embraced and they were fainting in ecstasy. They never think, first thing say, they said, Krishna, we are hungry, Krishna, we are uncomfortable, Krishna, when are we going back, Krishna, what is this happening? Generally, whenever we meet our counselor, we first tell our complaints to him, how I am suffering in my life. He didn't say, yesterday I went to a festival and I really enjoyed the festival, so nice. Whenever a senior person comes, our father comes, mother comes, counselor comes, we first tell our complaint to him, see, this is what is happening, I need help here. But they are not telling that. Because they were grateful and they were humble enough. They were humble enough that we are not qualified, but still Lord is coming from Dwarka to meet us in forest. He has come to Kamevan to meet them. He has given them guidance, what to do. And he has, you know, really helped them. He told Draupadi, you perform Adhikmas Vrat. He gave them association. He saved them from Durvasa Muni. So why should he come from the palace of Dwarka? So, that's why this personality of Uddhava is very impressive. A unique personality in the Braj, who is such a highly elevated person, but remaining in the form of blade of grass eternally, even today also. At the other bank of Kusum Sarovar, there are specific shrubs there, which is called Gulmalata. He is residing there today also. And devotees go and pray there. Then what a consciousness. If somebody has such a high position and has worshipped and performed tapasya to become such a lowest of lowest person. Similarly, we go to Barsana and we pray to Brahma, how great you are, Lord Brahma. You are the first acharya of all sampradayas, not our sampradaya. But you are remaining here as stone. You know, dogs and cats are passing stool and monkeys are passing stool and urine on that. And we are also with wretched feet, we are walking on that. But because we are walking on you to see Radharani on top, please forgive us and give us entrance and we walk on that. Lord Shiva has become mountain, although he is Mahadev, he has become stone in Nandagaon. So all the great personalities, the more great they are, they have shown their position, how humble they are, and the goal of life, their life is to become a humble servant of the Lord, constantly. They are always looking for this, being humble. They never get pained when they are insulted or then they are, like, Lord Shiva was rejected by Yashoda Devi. Get away, you all are representative of Kamsa, you are demon actually, you are come in the form of a demon, in the form of a sadhu to cheat me. I am not going to get cheated this time. I know you came in the form of a lady, beautiful lady. You all came in the form of a whirlwind and then a bullock, and then you came as a horse and you came as a snake. You disguised in so many ways. Now you have come in the form of sadhu. Please get lost from this place. I am not interested in you. You can imagine Mahadev getting rejected like that. And then what is happening? He is not taking out Trishul and saying, okay, I will kill you. What do you think of yourself? I didn't show my position to you. Now I am telling you who am I. This is, I am opening my third eye now. What do you think, you foolish lady? No, he just went crying there. He said, start crying. Imagine, helplessly like a baby, he was crying. My Lord, I want to see you. And then when she again called him, he came, went running over there. At time he didn't say, now why are you calling me? What do you think of yourself? I came on my own, begging you as a beggar, that you rejected me. Now I'm not going to come. No, he went running. Because he got never deviated from his purpose. His purpose was serving the Lord, to please the Lord. He didn't get disturbed with the experiences that he got and didn't change in his purpose. His purpose remained steady. And that cannot happen unless one is grateful and humble. It's not possible. Even if you go humbly in the beginning and you get insulted, your humility runs away from you. And pride takes the position. Okay, I will see you next time when you need me. I will take my revenge and show you who am I. You rejected me? Do you know who am I? I came, myself, you know who am I? I came with humility to at your doorstep, begging for darshan of your child. What do you think of yourself? Next time I'll show you. But he didn't think like that also. When if he was rejected, he only felt that I should cry and beg to the Lord to give darshan. And Lord responded to that consciousness actually. External lila may be anything, but the Lord actually responded to that consciousness. Oh dear Shankar, how great you are. How much you love me, I love you also. Now I will do mysterious things to make my mother call you, the one who rejected you. She will call you now. She'll send servants to give you official invitation. Look what I do. And he cried. And the same lady who rejected him, sent people. Please call him with respect. And then whatever he wanted, she did. And immediately Lord Krishna stopped crying. And then she said another thing out of, you know, her simplicity. She said, you now stay here only, you know. I don't know this baby when he will cry. So you please stay here only. And whenever he will cry, I will call you again to pacify him. You know whom she's stealing? She's stealing Mahadev to do this job. He's not saying, madam, you have not understood who am I. Anyway, one time I come, I don't have time, I have a lot of work. I will see when I can do. He stayed there only. He said, ki, don't worry, whatever we cook, first we will offer to you after offering our lala, we will offer to you. You stay here, you eat. And your job is what? When my baby will cry, I will call you, we pacify him. For a big person, you know, you tell a chief minister, you come to my house and when my baby cries, you pacify my baby. How does it sound? This is Mahadev. This is all possible only because they are humble. Their position, their power, their influence, their knowledge and their situation has not gone in their head. Their heart doesn't change in spite of all these external powers that they have. The heart remains as attractive to Krishna as it was other times. So that is the essence. That is why Sri Uddhav was chosen to go to Vrindavan. That's why Sri Uddhav is again called in for the council. Lord Krishna wants to reveal his greatness to the devotees. Today, we offer our humble respects to Uddhava for achieving the iota of that consciousness, what he had. It's very difficult actually to be detached from the so minute position of authority or influence that we have. We are so attached to that. That respect that we receive, that you know, people are respecting us, following us, and that position is very difficult to give up. But that is necessary to give it up and keep the humility in. Because the Lord is not going to ultimately at the end of life say, okay, how many followings you had? How much scriptures you read? What all you did? How many big temples you constructed? What all number of things you did? He will say, how much devotion? How much love? How much humility you had? And that's how you will achieve Him at the moment of death. So we offer our humble obeisances to Uddhavji and pray to Him that give this skill to us to renounce whatever we so-called achieve in our life and to remain attached to the humility and humble service to the Lord and His devotees. And He will bless us because He is very merciful. He is always eager to serve the devotees like He served the gopis. Today also happens to be, of course, end of Chaturmasya. One very sad thing. Last day of offering lambs to the Lord. Such a glorious activity. to offer lamps to the Lord. Because it assures us that the lamp of devotion also will be lit in the heart by offering that lamp. Sri Krishna is so happy with those who offer that lamp of devotion to Him and develop service attitude. It's a very glorious festival. We are doing that in the hospital also. Patients are admitted in the hospital, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and they are in the bed with tubes and needles inside. But on the bed they are offering lamp to Lord Jagannath and Baldev and Subhadra. The chariot goes to their bedside, in the wards, in ICU, in baby ICU also. And everybody is offering lamps to the Lord without fail. What a fortune actually. So, such beautiful month is coming to the end, and should all offer prayers that let this lamp always be lit in our heart, whether Kartik or not Kartik. Let us keep offering the lamp of love to you constantly, my Lord. And today is disappearance day of Bhugarbha Goswami and also Kashishwar Pandit. We'll speak few words to offer our gratitude and homage to them. Bhugarbha Goswami and Loknath Goswami were very thick friends. We read the history of Gaudiya history. You know that even before the six Goswamis came to Vrindavan, Bhugarbha Goswami and Loknath Goswami were sent before that. When complete Vrindavan Dham was a forest. I mean, a forest means lost places. It's just like a unanimous forest. There's no distinction or no identity of anything. It's just lost. And Loknath Goswami was ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you go to Vrindavan. And he said Loknath Goswami fainted actually, because he did not want to give up Lord Chaitanya's company. He fainted. And Bhugarbha Goswami felt very bad that he is feeling so much separation now only. What will happen to him in Vrindavan? So he said, I also will go with you. So out of love and friendship, he accompanied Bhugarbha Goswami. And Lord also approved that plan. Okay, you also go with him. But the basic reason was that feelings of love for the friend. And he is the incarnation of Prema Manjari in Krishna Leela. And Krishna Kaviraj Goswami writes that he is 11th branch of discipleship from Gadadhar Pandit. There are 11 disciples he had, and 11th branch was Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, was Bhugarbha Goswami. He was called Bhugarbha because of unique reason, that he would always do his bhajan underground in some cave. Bhugarbha. In the womb or in the cave of earth, he would sit down and do bhajan, always away from people. And these both Goswamis were constantly crying tears and wandering in all forests of Vrindavan actually. He had his deity called Chhel Chikan, Radha Chhel Chikan. Very unique name. That means one who is a chaliya, one who is a cheater, one who cheats the gopis. So his deities are there in Radha Damodar temple. If you go to Radha Damodar temple, the central deity is Lalita Radha Damodar. On their right side is Radha Vrindavan Chandra of Krishnadas Kaviraj. On their left side is Radha Madhav of Jaidev Goswami. On left side of Radha Madhav are the deities of Radha Chhel Chikan. They were worshipped by Bhugarbha Goswami. And today also we have Samadhi of Bhugarbha Goswami, who passed away in Vrindavan, and his Samadhi is there on the Parikrama path inside the Radha Damodar temple. A small temple, small Samadhi, but we go across and it is there near Rupa Goswami Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir. Now few words about Kashishwar Pandit. He lived in Puri as with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his bodyguard, because he was well built, was strong. So he would walk in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and make way from the crowds for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to pass, because he was very big also physically. Kashishwar Pandit was guru of Govinda Goswami, who was a priest of Radha Govinda, first in Vallapur, then in Vrindavan. And he was disciple of Ishwarpuri. So when he actually began his service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not willing to accept service from God brother. But then Ishwarpuri instructed that you accept his service, and he also instructed Kashishwar Pandit that you do this service. So on the order of Guru Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the service of Kashishwar Pandit, who was his God brother. And he was actually two personalities. He was Sakha called Bhringara of Krishna in Krishna Leela, who became Kashishwar Pandit. And he descended as Kashishwar Pandit. Another service that he would do after doing the Kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would distribute prasadam. every time. So, Kashyaswar Pandit said, if Lord Chaitanya, if you leave Vrindavan, my heart will split in two. Because, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan for 2 months and he was serving Radha Govinda there. So he said, I will not be able to continue my service because you are leaving. My heart will break into pieces. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately manifested Gaur Govinda deities to him. And said, I will live with you in this form. So then, Kashyaswar Pandit worshipped Radha Govinda and Gaur Govinda together in Vrindavan after that. His samadhi is there, you know, there's a place in front of Radha Govind temple, 64 samadhis. Where all the great Acharya samadhis are there, his samadhi is there in there. Original samadhi of Kashyaswar Pandit is there in the 64 samadhi area. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu associates also their service attitude based on humility is very significant. So we offer our prayers to Kashyaswar Pandit and to Bhugarbha Goswami to give us the iota of devotion, because Bhugarbha Goswami was so much deeply immersed in the feelings of separation, Vipralamba, along with Loknath Goswami. They shared that same sentiment and mood because of the association that they had of each other. So Kashyaswar Pandit Mahashoy ki jai, Bhugarbha Goswami Maharaj ki jai, Uddhav Ji Maharaj ki jai, Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Thank you very much. If there are any comments or any questions that we like to address. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.